You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hainaut Baba. People have come to associate writers like Mark Twain or beat poets like Allen Ginsberg with San Francisco. But that was then. What about today? KALW's Josiah Luis Alderete introduces us to one of the contemporary voices shaping the literary landscape of our city by the bay.
San Francisco loves its literature. Its literary roots go down deep into the concrete of neighborhoods like the Fillmore, La Mission, and North Beach. These San Francisco streets have incubated and nurtured the words of Maya Angelou, Alejandro Murguia, and Lawrence Ferlinghetti. And now, continuing this tradition, comes Tongo Eisen Martin.
The curtains remind alcoholics of church. Alcoholics remind the room that there is no revolution outside. The parking lot coughs travelers up through the late morning with bad land water on their face.
Tongo is a poet, activist, and educator. He grew up here in San Francisco, and his second book of poems, Heaven Is All Goodbyes, is being released this month by San Francisco's beloved publisher, City Lights Books.
Two news from a flight to a trench, a dust cloud of human form. Mostly arms, flesh smoke, bored and nowhere, and nice time and nickel genocide.
Tongo is a literary force of nature. Go out any night of the week to a regular poetry event in the Bay Area, from the Amor for Alex Nieto benefit at the Yerba Buena Center for the Arts last month, to Quiet Lightning's Poetry in the Park that happened last weekend, to Oakland's yearly literary Bacchanal the Beast Crawl, and chances are Tongo will be there.
You know, I'm really kind of just like a man with his instrument. And I will go play it anywhere for anybody who wants to hear it. You know what I mean? I just feel like a visitor, man. Everywhere, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, you gotta invite the visitor in, though. Invite the visitor in, and I'll do my thing and be on my way.
Seeing Tongo read is an experience. When it's his turn, Tongo goes up alone. No notebooks, no iPhone screen to look at. His 6-foot-plus frame makes him stoop down into the microphone. Tongo will look at the audience, cock his head slightly, and smile a thick-bearded smile. Then his words will just begin to spill out.
This dream requires more condemned Africans. Or put another way, state violence rises down. Or still life is just getting warmed up. Or Army life is looking for a new church and ignored all other suggestions.
And spill is exactly what I mean. It's a flow of words, a cascade of images. When Tongo recites, his poems tumble over and around you.
I've taken many a walk to the back of a bus that led on out the back of a storyteller's prison sentence, then on out the back of slave scars, but this is my comeback face. I left my watch on the public.
It's an elemental experience. You do not hear the poem so much as become surrounded by it. It can be discombobulating.
It flew through the bus line number, then on out the front of the White House. Hopefully you find comfort downtown, but if not, we brought you enough cigarette filters to make a decent winter coat. A special species of handshake lets all know who's king and what's the lifespan of the uniform cloth.
The tempo doesn't stop as you catch your breath. All the while, his images continue to line up one behind the other. Their meanings flare in front of you, explode, and are replaced by another image that is equally profound and combustible.
So well with radio codes, or the way condemned Africans fought their way back to the ocean only to find waves made in 1920 burnt up piano parts.
The way in which he piles up image after image is this sort of surrealistic tornado.
Elaine Katzenberger has experienced many of Tongo's readings firsthand, and she edited Tongo's newest book. I spoke to her in the offices of City Lights Publishers above the famous bookstore in North Beach.
He brings you on these journeys, these visual journeys and emotional journeys that are really, really rich.
I've heard so many labels applied to Tongo: slam poet, spoken word poet. I've even heard him referred to as a jazz poet, though that's a description Tongo feels uncomfortable with.
Jazz musicians, man, are like alien samurai, you know what I mean? So to say, like, I think why I would leave jazz out of it is because jazz itself is such a martial art. Mind and body and soul are truly one, you know. Poetry is just mind and soul. You know what I mean?
Labels aside, rhythm and music are strong elements in Tongo's work. Last week, he paired with Bay Area veteran poet-musician Avacha for an event called Bay Area Generations. And next month, the Poetry Center of San Francisco is hosting Tongo's performance with percussionist Marcel Trammell. And then there's his long-standing collaboration with Bay Area musician Chris Peck, a project called Lone.
A 1978 statement. Beagle and I are driving in an empty cell lane. We are God's evil to these settlers. They might throw us under the shift change. We take wolf naps. We don't know what else we good at besides this traveling.
Tongo was a poet from the very beginning. He says he wrote his first poem at the age of 5.
Some adults said it was good. And I remember this. Kids used to ask me, like, are you going to be a writer when you grow up? And that just sounded like the lamest thing ever, man. the lamest fortune you could get in Reaganomics, you know what I mean? In Reaganomic childhood. So I'd be like, no.
He might have tried to deny his talent, but his mother nurtured that aspect of him, and he grew strong, immersed in his culture.
My mother is, basically a 60s radical, revolutionary. So I was kind of raised to know the real right from wrong.
She decorated their home with posters of Angolan women and African kings. She sent him to Meadows Livingstone, a small private Afrocentric elementary school in Potrero Hill.
Black culture was culture, you know what I mean? So black history was not black history class, it was history class. And we used to recite poems by, Langston Hughes and these type of people. So it was always, kind of like black culture was always strong, both, literary and otherwise.
When he went off to Columbia University, he studied African American history in the day and attended poetry readings at the New Yorican Poets Cafe at night. And he took a course called Youth Voices on Lockdown.
And it was basically a class that brought the Columbia students into Rikers Island to work with the kids that were incarcerated there. And I ended up, taking in, took responsibility for 5 years. But by the time I finished up college, I knew I had, I kind of had these revolutionary principles, but the question was then, how do I apply them? How do I practice them? And it was in education, and I thought that was the place where I could do the most, the best work politicizing people.
During this time, his roles as activist, educator, and poet began to overlap and fall into each other. He taught at the Institute for Research in African American Studies at Columbia University. Part of his job was to design social justice curricula that have been used everywhere from San Francisco to South Africa. Elaine says Tongo is both a political poet and a lyrical poet.
It's not just political poetry, and there's not that there's anything wrong with that, but that's not what he's giving us. But politics is all in there, and the deep connection and love for humans and humanity and a desire to see people realized.
That revolutionary aspect that Elaine talks about brings to mind another San Francisco poet, Bob Kaufman. He died in 1986, but here's a clip.
Egyptian mummies are lousy dancers. Alcoholics cannot make it on root beer. Jazz never made it back down the river. Licking postage stamps depletes the body fluids. Fat automobiles laugh more than others. Men who die in wars become seagulls and fly. Roaches have a rough time of it from birth. People who read are not happy. People who do not read are not happy.
Bob Kaufman was this person who did the same kind of things to you with his poetry. I mean, he just really presented a very clear and sometimes raw version of black experience in particular, and had an amazing gift for language.
City Lights also published Kaufman's poetry in its Pocket Poets series. the same series that is publishing Tongo's new book.
That Pocket Poet series is our signature series here at City Lights.
The series is responsible for publishing Allen Ginsberg's famous Howl, as well as local literary luminaries like Diane De Prima and Wanda Coleman. And now Tongo will be the 61st Pocket Poet.
The series is really meant for revolutionary poetry. And that can mean content or style or anything, really. So it's a pretty broad term that's applied. But when I was thinking of publishing Tongo, I just knew that that was the place to put him.
Book titles. Like, Hero, You'd Make a Better Zero. Or, Fur Coat Lady, The President is Dead. Or, Pay Me Back in Children. Or, They Hung Up Their Bodies in Their Own Museums. And other book titles, Pulled Out of a Drum Solo, Run Here, Hero, Lie at the Hiding Place, All the Bullets in 10 Precincts, Nowhere to Go, It's No Heaven nor Any Other Good Idea in the Sky. Politics means that people did it and people do it. Huh. Understand that when in San Francisco and other places that...
With the release of Tongo Eisen Martin's Heaven Is All Goodbyes by City Lights Books, San Francisco's literary tradition takes deeper root into the concrete and reaches even farther up to the sky. And I'm sure that if we could somehow look under the concrete, we could see under there the roots of one neighborhood connecting with the other one, one era of poetry connecting to the other, giving us a view of San Francisco that the lovers of literature around here can continue to recognize. For Cross Currents, yo soy Josiah Luis Aldavete.